Hey LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. Immerse yourself in our vibrant fashion scene where exclusive streetwear meets high-end boutiques. Stroll through styles defining our bold, wildly creative city, like the unique finds at Melrose Trading Post, a real LA gem. Explore star-studded experiences on Hollywood Boulevard, behind-the-scenes studio tours, and moments of awe under our legendary blue sky. Picture this. The iconic Griffith Observatory, inspiring directors worldwide. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's the time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, zatting off.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Frosted Tips with Lance Bass,
an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, my little peanuts. It's me, your host, Lance Bass. This is Frosted Tips with me and my lovely co-host, Michael Turchin.
Why, hello there, everyone.
Okay, we do need to talk about a few things before we bring on our guests. Yeah. All right. One, I mean, Barbie is the talk of the world right now. And I want to remind everyone that there is an NSYNC Barbie. Yeah. Did you forget about this? Did you have them?
I never knew about it to forget about
it. Yeah. I kind of forgot about it too until I saw someone post about it. I'm like, oh yeah, we had, because it was Barbie, NSYNC number one fan Barbie. Did y'all know that Barbie is NSYNC's number one fan? Yeah.
Oh, damn.
It's a thing. They had three. They had Barbie, which came with the Bye 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 CD.
Obviously.
CD. Teresa.
Oh, and Teresa.
See, Teresa was...
This I Promise You.
This one. And she had This I Promise You. And then Christy had It's Gonna Be Mac. So there were three NSYNC dolls. And I'm sure now that it's the new thing, they're going to come back out and they're going to release new CDs of us.
Oh.
Yeah, CDs only.
CDs only.
Yeah, with the bucket hats and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Very
excited for that.
So if you still have your NSYNC Barbies, they're probably worth at least $10.
At least.
Something that I've been wanting to talk about on the show.
What?
You know, there's weird things happening at concerts these days. The one, people are starting to throw cell phones and water bottles at artists. It's just like...
Like, why are people throwing hard things at artists on the stage?
It's like, this cannot become a trend.
No.
This is... I mean, if it becomes a trend, guess what? They're going to be taking your phones away at the door. That's going to be fun at a concert.
It's also assault. They're going to start arresting people. I mean...
Yeah. No, I mean, it is.
It's assault. You're assault. Yeah. You can't do it to someone on the street.
Because who's the one who... I mean, it cut her face.
Baby Rexha.
Yeah, I mean, that's nuts. So let's not make this a trend. But another thing that happened that was kind of a little off was Miranda Lambert. I'm sure you've heard. Kind of stopped her concert and scolded some fans for taking a selfie. you know, an influencer, obviously.
It wasn't an influencer. Yeah. It was a group of middle-aged women just having a girls' night. They've got a VIP table at the Vegas show.
Oh, so it was Vegas.
Yeah, it was like, a group of like
one of those sit-down tables.
Yeah, they were taking a group photo.
So did they go to the front of the stage and
In their booth just taking a selfie of themselves. And, had an opening so they could see her on the stage behind them.
That's even worse.
Then. Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't, they were like in the distance.
Oh my, okay, that's even worse.
Yeah. Miranda. And so Miranda then stops the show, says, "Wait, why are you taking selfies during my show?" Blah, 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 blah. This is my impression of Miranda Lambert, in case you didn't know. And when they finally like, how about we listen to some country music? And then before she started, she like looks at the fans, she goes and motions with her hands and then says, like, "Sit down." Tells them to sit down. I'm sorry if I would have thrown my phone at her head.
You wouldn't.
I would have thrown the bottle.
Yeah, that's a little, I mean, maybe she was having a bad night.
But I saw videos come up. She did it. Two other videos I saw from two other concerts. One man was just turned around talking to a friend and she stopped the whole thing. And it's like, "I think that's mighty rude. You're turning your back to me, sir."
Oh my God.
It's like, get over yourself, woman. They paid how much money to go see you? You should be grateful that they're paying money to see your butt. And number two, they paid it. They could take as many selfies as they want. Like, who, you don't own them. They paid you. That's all I can say to you. Ugh, Miranda Lambert.
This is ruffled
I'm so
feathers.
Ruffled, I can't even articulate it.
Ruffled feathers with turkey.
But can you imagine, Taylor Swift being like, "Oh, you're taking a selfie at my concert. Let's shut down the whole show."
Look, I understand if they're really interrupting a show, but that's not interrupting a show. Like, if you had, lasers, trying to blind, I would understand.
If you're heckling or you're screaming, of course. You're taking a photo and you're and you're a Vegas act where you're doing this every night. So get over it and be happy that you have a thing in Vegas and people want to take photos of you, Miranda Lambert.
Yeah. Well, if you ever see me performing, you can take as many selfies as you want.
Yeah.
Just going to put that out.
Just don't throw phones.
Just don't throw, not at my face.
But you could throw cookies.
No, not even cookies.
Soft, warm cookies.
What would I like thrown at me on stage? I mean, I do like a plushie just because, you know, my kids will take all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So throw plushies.
This secret stage that I perform on, I guess.
I know.
I have so many performances.
I know. When I perform, please. Well, next time Lance performs at your local
bar mitzvah,
remember, don't throw the Manischewitz at him.
Okay, let's get to Donnie and Matt right now. So let's take a little break. When we come back, we're going to have the boys INT. Now, this is going to be something new for most of y'all, I think. This guy was in a couple of boy bands.
Donnie Klang, who sure we all remember from Making the Band 4. Yeah. I remember.
You watched. See, I never got to watch the Making the Bands.
Yeah. Well, you were busy being in the band.
Well, I think O-Town ruined it for me. I'm like, I'm not going to support another boy band. Wow. How dare you?
Way to be inclusive.
But I do remember Danny DeCane a lot. Like that stood out.
Well, they were like the big success of like Making the Band.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Diddy canceled them on one of the seasons, fired all on because they were in an argument and he was like, oh, his ego is so bad. They're like, don't talk back to me. Well, guess what? The group's over. Bye. And this ended the group right there.
Ooh.
Because they talked back to him.
Well, Diddy doesn't have the most popular opinions, I have to say. Maybe I'll tell that story later on in the show. But until then, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, L.A., Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels.
From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, DiscoverLA.com is your gateway to everything L.A. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round alfresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or a glimpse behind the scenes at World Famous Studio Tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in L.A. with our beautiful weather. And, of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at DiscoverLA.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Let's just get right into it, guys. Here we go. All right. Donald Joseph Klang is an American singer from Brooklyn, New York. Started his career as a baby modeling and then a young age getting minor roles on shows like Nanny, NYPD Blue. But ultimately, you know, Donnie from Making the Band 4, where he was awarded his own solo contract by Diddy. Welcome to the show, my man.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for having me, too. It's a pleasure to meet you, Lance.
And introduce your friend here.
Yeah, so this is Matt. This is Matthew Laporte. He is my business partner here at our recording studio in New York, the Loft Sound Studio.
Yeah, so Loft Sound. Tell us about Loft Sound. It's a recording studio. Y'all finding new artists and all that?
Yes. So we opened in 2011. This is like at the tail end of when I was doing my artist stuff. And the transition from being in the spotlight to not being in the spotlight, this was like home. This was like, we opened up this spot to try to like kind of still do what we love, but then also share our knowledge and our network and everybody that I met in the business through the years, share that experience and share that knowledge. And then also continue artist development, because we came from that. I know you came from that. That was like something that was missing for a while in the business was development. So we kind of filled that hole and it turned into a business for us.
I mean, it's so true. I always say that, you know, when we were kind of going up in the business, it was all about, you know, really that ARing of anything. Now you have to have a full album to get signed to a label these days. Like, no one puts any work behind the artist and tries to develop them anymore. They're just like, listen, you got to bring me a full album. We'll release it and basically be your PR this time. What are some of the lessons you learned from being in the business that you want to kind of pass forward to the new generation of artists?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the work ethic, and then also understanding that getting signed to a label isn't the holy grail. It's like, and I think that's why we've even stood the test of time. I know when we first opened our studio, studios were kind of failing. People are able to do this more and more at home, but having people that actually care and have genuinely experienced stuff. And we're here to not only share like what we do here as producers and songwriters, helping people make their music. We're also here to like warn them about certain things in the business, especially now with Instagram and these sharks that come in their DMs, and what kind of playlists should they get on, and how do you get on, and what's just fake, and what are bots? It's like, it's insane. But we've had to grow and evolve with social media and just stay kind of ahead of the trends, ahead of the times, and it's kept us as young as possible.
It's true. You do have to evolve. Matt, how did you get involved in music? When did you start?
So I met Donnie actually in high school. We went to a private Catholic school. We were about 13 years old. This was in 1999. And we just had a love for singing. I know NSYNC started emerging around that time, Backstreet Boys. So we were like, we can do this. So we actually put together a boy band and taught ourselves how to do everything, record, write, produce. We used to go to malls and just sing a cappella to gain fans. Then we would go to concerts. And we would steal other people's fans in the audience. One of the concerts was this girl group called Play, and they were managed by Beyonce Knowles' dad, Matthew.
Yeah.
He called us backstage and he started managing us from that day forward. He brought us to Sony. We got a deal with David Massey. We were like 16, 17 years old. And then, man, then the stories start happening.
What's so crazy is like when we do interviews or whatever, we usually always reference NSYNC. We're like, because that's what it was. We're like, this is back in the NSYNC days. So of course we had our own boy band, and it's like, that's what we say in interviews, which is even crazier now. We wanted to bring this up quick.
Like,
we both have stories of when we met you.
Oh God, what happened?
Matt, I actually met both of you about two summers ago in P-Town.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I was there with my wife and outside of one of the restaurants. Yeah. And I didn't really want to bother you, but I was like, what's up, man? I'm a big fan. I took a picture with you. But
That was the last time we were in P-Town. That was a great, that was, we call that the super spreader, because that was during like COVID. And after that trip, because it was 4th of July, it just blew up on the East Coast. Like, I think that was our trip that
did
that.
It was.
I go there every summer. I've been taking my kids there since they were born, and we love it there. It's amazing.
Oh, such a great town. So INT is the boy band we're talking about, right? So how many guys were in this group?
So yeah, we had two different groups at this time.
And there were two different high schools, right?
So I went to Catholic school for 2 years, and then I switched back to public school. So there was like, We were two different groups at two different points, but it was basically the same group of guys. We were Playa Deception first. That was our name. Nice. Playa, because we said that it's super embarrassing. We said we looked like Playas, but it's just a deception because we're nice guys.
If it wasn't embarrassing, it wasn't in the boy band category. Yeah.
Then it was in 1999. So, but yeah, we lived it though. It was like, that's something I tell everybody too, is like, even the making the band days, the development part of it and like that first season of the show, and then like what I did with Matt and our group members, we still have our group chat to this day. It's like, to me, was the best part of the experience of anything I did. It's better than getting signed. It's better than like doing music videos. It's like those times in the group, like, and I know you know this, it's like you can't replicate that, just that feeling of just being able to blend and the harmonies, and it's just like, You can't even explain that.
Yeah, it's magic. It's magic. And the bonds that you have for the rest of your life is just incredible. It's a family, you know, that you just, you know, they don't have to be blood, but they are family for sure.
Right.
So let's talk about making the band, because I was definitely at the age where I didn't get to see any of the making of the bands. Well, one, when it started, we were kind of on tour, and so I couldn't watch any TV.
Yeah, you watched nothing.
And then when Diddy took over, like, I knew Dana DeCane was formed there. So tell us the experience on how you got on this show. What was the audition process like?
So this is February 2007. It's very similar to like American Idol. They go to a bunch of big cities and you wait in line. Actually, at this point, MySpace was huge. Oh, and yeah. I won this MySpace contest that gave me an opportunity to cut the line the first day.
Oh, nice.
So I cut the line. I went in. I saw Mike Bivens from New Edition. He was the first judge. It's super, super similar to American Idol. You go in, you sing something. They either say, yes, you're coming back, or no, and then that's it. So I went in, I sang like two lines for Mike Bivens, and he's like, dude, you're good. Come back tomorrow. So I didn't really get to experience like the scariness and the cutthroatness that first day. But when I came back the second day, the 50,000 people was trimmed down to like 200 of New York's top talent. And I'm this like skinny white kid going up against these incredible singers. Like these guys could way out sing me. It wasn't even like, I'm like, what am I doing here? There was like a moment where in my head, I'm like, I either need to go home or, but back then I was just young. I was so hungry and I just flipped this switch where I just became a sponge to everybody around me. And instead of it being like a competition, I was more of like just trying to learn anything I could from anybody that I was getting a chance to meet and go up against. And that was it. I made it through that day. And then it got even more real. Then you meet Diddy and they flew in the best of the best from around the country. And, but the development part of that process, we always say it, me and the guys for making the band, we feel like that was the last of it when they were still developing artists and putting you through those boot camps and the rigorous, like, dance classes, vocal coaching, making sure you're working out and staying on top. We had this vocal coach that made sure we were eating the right things and the throat coat teas. And like, I feel like that doesn't really exist as much anymore in the business.
No, I don't think it does. And that was something, you know, I started when I was 16 and we immediately started doing all of that. I mean, it was a boot camp, you know, it was about what you ate. You had to, you know, exercise. You had to rehearse every single day in a crazy warehouse, 110 degrees to learn how to sing and dance at the same time. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy that we don't have those, I don't know, that boot camp situation with these new artists today, because I think, I don't know, they would learn a lot more. Yeah. And then they would take care of their voice a lot. Because I know all these singers now, I look at them, the ones that are especially, you know, really singing. I'm like, I hope they're really taking care of themselves, because that's going to go out when they're like 35 years old.
See it too with a bunch of these artists that come off these shows. It's like you're going from being a nobody to being a somebody overnight. And then capitalizing on that 15 minutes of fame, the labels are just sending you right out to tour. Like Kelly Clarkson, I feel like I remember the story, she blew out her voice or something right after that first season.
Like
you don't have the proper training. I think it happened with Adele.
Like, it's a perfect example. Like Kelly's a perfect example. Someone with a voice like that that can just well, like a Celine Dion, a Whitney Houston. Like Celine, from she was 13 years old, she was always training her vocal. I mean, even to this day, she's, you know, always so great about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's part of the game. You got to keep up with. Yeah. Diddy, are you still in touch with Diddy these days? Like, what's your relationship with
him? Very loosely. It just like decreased slowly over the years, and then something would happen, we'd be back in touch. We a handful of times pitched him artists over the years. So actually with our studio, one of our biggest successes is this girl, Madison Beer.
Oh, yeah, I love Madison Beer. Yeah.
She came to us. This is like a perfect example of us getting a chance to do what we do. She came to us when she was 12 years old. She was going to School of Rock and her dad was like, they kind of do more rock stuff. We're looking for a place that does more like contemporary. We're like, yeah, we do. This is what we do. Pop R&B stuff. And she came to us. We developed her for about 8 months. And this is also on those early days of YouTube. And her videos were just organically going viral.
Yeah, she was brilliant.
Within a year, she got discovered by Scooter and Justin. And she got picked up by the management team. But even her story, it's not a fairy tale. It's like she got signed. But she got signed to Scooter the same year Scooter was signing everything.
Yeah.
She got signed, I think, in the same couple months that Ariana Grande got signed. And then he was just signing like Martin Garrix, Psy, Gangnam Style, whatever was hot right at that moment, he was signing it. And she kind of got shelved too. And that's what happened with us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Matthew Knowles. We're sitting here thinking 15, 16-year-old kids, like we just got signed with the biggest manager in the business. But they're the biggest manager because of the artist that made them the biggest manager. And that's where the focus goes, the energy goes. And we sat here, his home base is in Houston. And we sat here in New York, just kind of like getting lost in the shuffle. And then we'd get excited when he'd send us out for a month and then back to school. And our friends are like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah,
it's always better to be the big fish in the small pond, for sure. Going back to Madison, one of my favorite things that she did was that KDA group.
Yeah,
the K-pop, you know, cartoon, gamer, whatever. I thought That was so dope.
Yeah,
Kim Petras. Kim Petras, like all these girls came together and created this fake kind of girl band. And I wish they would have continued that, because that was some really good music.
Some really good songs.
Yeah. She's so talented.
She was always very talented. And then especially like once she got a chance to catch up her image with her age, I think that was one thing for her, was she was 13, but she looked 19. And then the label wanted her to sing these kiddie songs, but then it didn't match her image. And then she wanted to sing these songs that she couldn't sing about yet because she was too young. So she needed that time of like just like her image catching up to her age. And she was always, her musicality was always crazy. She loves like old school, like those Amy Winehouse types of chord progressions. And now she's getting a chance to do that. And it's finally like all adding up for her.
Says here, you know, you did an episode of The Nanny. And of course, Fran Drescher is hot topic these days. Were you able to work with her? Did you get to know her when you did that show?
I did. This is also another super embarrassing part.
Okay. We love embarrassing first things. Yeah.
I must have been like 9 or 10 years old. Mm-hmm. I had the typical 90s bowl cut.
Yeah.
And my mom had me doing like extra work back then. I was in the Screen Actors Guild. We lived in Brooklyn, so we would run back and forth to the city all the time. So The Nanny was one of the shows, and this was my first speaking part that I ever had on a show. And so the episode is Fran Drescher goes on the Rosie O'Donnell show, and all of a sudden she leaves the Rosie O'Donnell show and she's super famous because whatever happened on the show. So I am her biggest fan waiting outside for her. And my line is, "Oh my God, The Nanny, can I have your autograph?" And then she says, "No." And I turn directly to the camera with this embarrassing bowl cut. And I don't know how they edited this in, but my face is like so close to the camera. And I had to be like, He's like, all right, one more autograph, kid. One more autograph.
Oh my gosh. So good.
So embarrassing.
It's so funny. I like getting a group of people together, especially that are in the entertainment industry.
Oh my God, yes.
And we like to say, okay, bring your most embarrassing or your first thing you've ever done. And we all have to watch it together. And at first you think, oh, this is going to be funny, you know, but then it kind of just gets even too embarrassing to watch. Like, oh my God, we should not have seen this. Oh, it's so
best
bad.
Best entertainment.
Oh, it's so bad. But I mean, you were doing things before that because you also started modeling as a baby.
Yeah, I did.
And we need to talk because I'm telling you, we were scrolling through your Instagram today and your daughter Tatum
looked
like our daughter's twin. Like,
wow. They're
I know their faces are so similar.
It's so, I'm like, oh my gosh, that is Violet. But it's so great because our daughter doesn't have hair yet. So now we can see what she's going to look like when she has hair.
Yeah,
I'm like,
how old is she?
She'll be 2 in October.
Okay, yeah. So Tatum just turned 2 in June.
Yeah.
Same thing too for a long time. It took forever for her hair to sprout out. And now it's sprouting in and it's curly. She like, Tatum and London, that's my two daughters. They're 3 and 2. They look like exact opposites. People don't think that they're siblings.
Yeah. That's like our kids too. Yeah. They both look, they don't even look like the same ethnicity, to be honest.
No, they don't. She looks like a Russian doll and he's like Argentinian. Just like they're complete opposite and opposite personalities.
Yeah, yeah.
Being a dad, a new dad, is it hard for you to balance the work family life? Because I mean, what I see on Instagram, you are a very present and fun dad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. It's like even leaving this morning, I'm like pulling out of the driveway and they're like running down and I like stop the car and run back to give them hugs. It's like,
I know.
Once they start crying when you leave, it's the worst. The worst. Matt, do you have any kids?
I do. I started a little earlier. I have a 12 and a 13-year-old boy and girl.
Oh, wait. So how's that? How's the teenage years?
God, I'm aging very quickly. It's hard. Middle school is tough, man. I remember when I was in middle school, too. It wasn't easy. But, man, just kids are not nice. And
No, kids are assholes.
Social media, like, you can't escape. When we were in school, whatever happened at school, you go home, you kind of escape it. But now kids go home and they're getting messages on Instagram or social media. You can't escape. There's no escape anymore.
Oh, it's so true. I know. It scares me to to think about what kind of world they're going to be living in when they are in school. Like, what is the next thing like social media that's going to just give them the most complexes ever?
Oh, in 10 years time, Lord.
Yeah. There'll be zero privacy at all.
No, it's crazy.
Now, you also auditioned for American Idol a couple of times, and I know that process because I have so many friends that went through that. And the most talented people I know, like the most gorgeous voices I know, never made it past the first round. It's like you had to have that luck of like, yeah, you'll do, you'll do, you'll do. And you didn't make it past those first rounds. And I think that's what made you kind of have a little bad taste in your mouth for the music industry. Is that what made you take a break for a while?
Yeah, that was that was just coming off a bad string of stuff. It was like our group broke up, and then I'm at the point now where like I took the time off from college and I'm seeing all my college friends like either living it up at upstate or Miami, wherever they went, or they're graduating and they're like starting their lives now.
Yeah.
I was just trying to figure out what to do. Then it was like American Idol. I'm like, let me just try out for the show. Like, hopefully I get through. Maybe this will spark a little something. And then when I got cut from that, that was a moment in my life where I was like, I was working at a warehouse. I didn't even know what I was doing with my life. It was like music was the only thing I know. And then that set up me for like just that extreme fire. Because then that next like 8 months, I was really just honing in my room, trying to like write songs and put stuff out. I was building a little following on MySpace. And then when Making the Band came around, that was like, if I didn't have that fire set from that, I probably wouldn't have even fully got through the show. Cause like I said, it was so intimidating, these people that were there, and it was crazy.
What songs did you have on your MySpace? I miss MySpace.
Oh man. Tom was in my top eight. Tom. I think he was in everybody's top eight.
My first friend, I think.
Everyone's first friend. All of our first friends. I saw Tom because, you know, like the Threads thing blew up for a day. And he was the first person I saw on Threads. He's like, all right, guys, are we doing this? And it's still his same picture from MySpace.
So funny. Even that, though, I remember thinking back, like that was one of the things. So when Facebook first came out, you needed a .edu email to sign up for it. And then I had this girlfriend that we broke up, and then American Idol, and then she was on Facebook and I couldn't see what she was doing, so I was using friends' Facebooks to try to stalk her and see what she was doing.
Of course.
All that just like lit that fire in me that I was like, I'm gonna get famous and just rub it in this girl's face.
That's good motivation.
It's kind of always the best motivation.
Yeah.
A little revenge.
Career revenge.
Yeah, glow up revenge. Yeah, I love it.
And Making the Band, you know, at the end of season 4, you end up not making the band because Diddy wanted to bring you solo. He thought that you had what it takes to be, you know, I'm sure he was thinking like Justin Timberlake, you know. So what did you envision your solo career would look like after doing a show like Making the Band?
Yeah. And then this is where some of the politics get tough. Like when you sign as a new artist, creative control like goes to the heads of the labels, and especially Diddy. So for me, I was probably more of like doing like Neo type of stuff that I think resonated better with people, rather than when they put me in the studio, I think they were really trying to pin me as like another Justin Timberlake. And I don't think that reads right to people, that because I mean, as much as we danced in our groups, I was never like a dancer first. That was more forced, and I could make choreography look good, but it was never, that wasn't my strong point. So that was definitely, and that's like what I try to teach people now, is like it gets real when you get signed, and that you kind of want to have as much leverage as possible going into your deal, because then if you blow up off of something that you did that you believe in and just works with you, the label is going to have to continue pushing that. If you get signed too quick and you just get signed off your talent or your look or whatever, it's like they're going to try to mold you into what they think is going to work. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Hey, LA. Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, DiscoverLA.com is your gateway to everything LA. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round alfresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or glimpse behind the scenes at World Famous Studio Tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in L.A. with our beautiful weather. And, of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at DiscoverLA.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
We have in common opening up for Janet Jackson, which for me was just, that was one of my top highlights of my life. We got to do the Velvet Rope tour.
Awesome.
So incredible. What was it like for you to open up for Janet?
It's pretty opposite, actually.
Oh, really?
Didn't get to end up opening that tour, but somehow it like lives on in Wikipedia and all that. Because
oh
it was,
my God.
I know that's where we got it.
You know what? You just go with it. I find that no one cares.
Janet was so cool.
No one cares about. We're in a fact-free world, so if you say it over and over again, people are just going to believe it. So
there was a point where I just got so to the point where I was like, "Yeah, it was amazing." She's so.
Yeah,
but
there's
now
a couple of things I do that with too. Like, I hear things over and over about me that's just not true, and I go with it. I'm like, okay, I'm not even gonna try to.
Some of the stuff, like, it's been so long, and I've just become such a regular human being that I don't remember what actually happened and what didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I bet it seems probably like a dream.
Yeah. So what are we working on?
He did open for the Backstreet Boys, though.
What? Wait, where was it?
Backstreet Boys.
Talking with the Enemy.
Oh my gosh, that was the wrong side.
So I know.
I'll just throw this out there. As much as I love both groups, I was definitely more of an NSYNC fan. But I got to open up for them. This was when Kevin wasn't in the group.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is like 2008. And then
Kevin went, he left a little bit because he wanted to do acting. I think he was trying to do the acting thing for a few years.
But it was awesome. It was like, so for me, it's like I got thrown into this world as a solo artist where I was so used to singing in my groups. So yeah. That tour was cool for me because it was like I was hanging out with the boys, throwing a football around before the shows, like going into sound check and just like that camaraderie feeling. I got a chance to kind of like have that again.
Oh, sweet.
And then especially with a group like that, like it's like I grew up, I was inspired by you guys. Mm-hmm. So to have a chance to do that was super cool.
It's funny because, you know, back in the day, guys really did admit that they liked NSYNC. You know, it's like it was sometimes just not cool to say that you liked a group like that. But I've noticed now that we're older and like, you know, the fans are talking to us, like the guys, for some reason, guys really went to our group. So I don't know what is that? Why, as a guy, did you like NSYNC over Backstreet?
You know what? I think it's because
what?
Because every guy secretly wanted to be in a group.
Be in a group, like, yeah. Because
you want to be all like cool and macho. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So like they're secretly loving it because they want to be in a group. I mean, I did. I for sure was, oh, I wish I was.
Yeah, who would turn that down?
Yeah.
It's like, here's the world and here's 500,000 girls
and take over the world.
Yeah. I mean, for us, we're probably the wrong people to ask because that's what we love and what we grew up on. But it's like for us, to me, that was the exact dream. Like the I guess back then it might have even been VHS tapes, but maybe it was DVDs. But the documentaries on you guys, and then seeing the Europe tour and looking out those windows and the thousands of people, just that sea of the crowd. And then even like we were saying, the artist development part of it, like we getting a chance to peek in and see a lot of what you guys went through. That to me was the dream. That was like what I envisioned was that was the dream, like going through that process, getting molded and shaped and getting your talents to the best of their abilities, and then getting this hit song, like going into the studio and working on a bunch of songs until you know you found the hit, and then that hit song, and then you have radio stations playing it nonstop. Back then with the VMAs and everything. So that, to me, is one of the most iconic moments in pop culture history that I still reference and I still use to motivate a lot of the artists that we coach today. I use three different things. I use Whitney's national anthem, I think at the Super Bowl. I use Beyonce's Super Bowl halftime show. And then I use NSYNC's VMA's 2000s. That performance.
That's ahead.
That's just part. Like, it was so ahead of its time. And then like you're dancing and really singing live, and they had your mic on too loud for that split second, and then they lower it. And it's like just that those moments to me, that's iconic because it shows like you guys were really singing and really moving and running and dancing. And like, it's insane. That's like that to me. That's what I use to show people like this is the level you need to aspire to get to.
I mean, it is great. And it's really about your team. I mean, it's really linking up with those people that can make you who you're supposed to be. Yeah. And that, you know, for us, Wade Robson is the one who created that amazing performance. Yep. You know, if it was just put up to us five guys, it wouldn't have looked like that. So, you know, the right vocal coach, the right choreographer, the right manager, the team is what really takes your talent to the next level. Could y'all easily find that group of people for your career? Like, did you have that person you could always like create and get with and be like, okay, this is what we're doing?
It was tough. We were doing a lot of it ourselves.
Yeah. And five boys trying to do it themselves, it's a nightmare.
You know? Yeah. Five different personalities. It's hard to, yeah. I always say it's like wrangling cats. It's very hard.
Yeah, we never really found
a reunion in 23 years.
Yeah.
I know, it's insane.
That actually was like the downfall of us. We never had that like real team. None of our families came from music.
Yeah.
You know, we got involved with Matthew Knowles. I don't know if that was the greatest thing for us. So yeah, that's what we do now in our studio. We put together teams for people.
Yeah.
You know,
it's great. That's great. And especially in a world where everyone gets so taken advantage of right now, especially the young artists. It's like, how How have we not learned our lesson, guys? Like, I even did a documentary on how Lou Pearlman screwed us all, but like, people still will sign that contract at 16 years old.
Yeah. Well, when it's presented to you, you know, it's like, well, it's this or nothing. So most of the time, like, you're just going to take whatever you're offered.
And everyone thinks, oh, first contract's bad. I can renegotiate. Yeah. Until you can't renegotiate.
Yeah. That's where I was at, actually. We signed our deals just to audition for the show. So that's like almost even worse off. And then you win and you basically sit with a lawyer that shows you what you signed. There's no room for negotiation or anything. It's just like, so here it is. This is what it is. And for years, I was stuck in that contract. I didn't get out of that until like 2013. Oh, and in 2010, I had Def Jam flew me out. They were trying to like get me out of my contract. They flew me down to Atlanta. They put me up. I worked with producers. I made like 8 or 9 songs and then I got back and it just took too long to get out of the deal. So it's tough. You got to really be careful what you sign.
Yeah, you do. Who was the most exciting person that you've met through this business?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
actually, you never told the story of how you guys met.
The story of how I met you.
Oh, yeah. We never got to that. So the most exciting person you met was me. Okay. Yeah. But,
story.
This was Justin Timberlake was having a grand opening for the restaurant Southern Hospitality. I think it was called. It was a barbecue place in the city. Mm-hmm. And this was when I was just starting my Making the Band stuff and the first couple shows had aired. So the PR team had me going to stuff like this. So I ended up going. I hung out with you guys. We were playing beer pong in like the back downstairs area. And me and you were on the same team, actually.
And I'm sure we picked this.
Played, yeah, but JT was knocking our shots out when we didn't bounce it. So he was playing cheating a little bit illegally.
Of course.
But we would have won.
Yeah. Well, if we would have done Flip Cup, I really would have kicked his ass. All right. So because that's my game. That's my game.
That's
still going to him.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. I think, right? No, maybe it's not open. No, never mind. It closed.
Never mind.
But it was really good. It was good Southern food while it lasted. Yeah. Had a lot of his grandmother's recipes in there. It's really cute. Really cute. When you've been on stage, you know, the big thing right now is assholes throwing things at artists on stage.
God, yeah.
And then, of course, Miranda Lambert scolding someone taking a selfie. So have you ever had a moment on stage where you've been hit? And what do you think about this new trend of artists trying to be nailed by things?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I saw Drake got nailed with like a 36G bra or something.
Yes, it did. Just happened.
Well, at least that wouldn't hurt as much as a freaking beer bottle.
I do remember because the level that we got to on the show was never really that big. We did a couple like 5,000 seat places. Maybe that was the biggest we really got to. But a lot of our bread and butter was doing the after club performances after. And of course, those would get rowdy. Everybody's drinking. So that used to happen to us very frequently with like beer bottles or water bottles or anything like that. It was insane.
Yeah. I remember it only happened to us in Europe when we started over there because we lived in Germany the first couple of years. And we'd get a lot of beer bottles thrown at us because we do those festivals, right? Where those people aren't your fans. And it's, you know, and some festivals go to like 3 a.m. and you'd go on at 3 and just everyone's wasted and you're just dodging beer bottles as you're dancing on stage. I miss the days when they just would throw plushies on stage. It was just soft teddy bears.
Yeah, what happened to teddy bears?
Yeah, what happened to that?
Yeah. That's up.
All right, we have a frosted tip we'd like to get from you guys. You're someone who has heard no from this industry a couple of times before and you know, before you got your big break. What's the advice you can give people who keep hearing no over and over and over again and whatever their career path is? What makes you keep going?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like what you do with that no. Like I said, I could have like turned away after the whole American Idol situation. And even after our group, I can't even tell you, like the Matthew Knowles is just one of 100 things that happened with our group and the entertainment business specifically. It's like whenever you're pouring your heart into something, it's very easy to get let down that much harder and get your heart broken over it because here you are. And that's why people probably sign those crazy deals. Because it's like, this is all you want. This is going to change your parents' life. Or this is like, you've dreamt about this since you were a little kid. Or it didn't happen for my parents. So now I'm going to make it happen. Like whatever happened with our groups, we had, and people take advantage of that. So it's just about being very careful and just continuing to always make it about why you first started doing it. And just when you're writing your music, don't try to conform to like what people are doing now. If Olivia Rodrigo put pop punk into the music world now and everybody's trying to now make stuff pop punk again, don't let that change what you were doing. Still continue to be you. And then take every single no and just use it as fuel, use it as motivation, and get to your next no. The more no's you get to, the closer you get into that yes.
99% no's. And yep. It does make you stronger, but it still hurts.
It still hurts you when you get no's.
You're like, oh, God. Yeah. That's the business.
Yeah.
We have some fan questions for y'all. So this is from Tiff Ryan. Go ahead.
Okay, fan questions. We have Tiff Ryan. What is your favorite memory touring with Day 26 and Danny DeGane?
Oh, wow.
Any special memories from
your head? From what I can remember. So I do remember there was Danny DeGane was back then similar to, they had the presence of like an NSYNC where the five of them, that like powerhouse, and like us coming into the show, they were famous already. And we were like, I was a fan of them. So when we did our tour together, it was so much fun. This was like finally my chance, the tour bus, the bunk beds, the stopping in every state and then running into hotels, leaving at 4 a.m. for the radio shows. And we were all doing that together. We got super close. And then the LA show ended our tour. And I got pulled out as a surprise and got a lap dance on stage from all five members of Danny DeGane. And it was incredible.
That's nice. We see Aubrey like every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
I stay in touch with her. Yeah. Actually, everybody, I probably talk to her most frequently.
Yeah. No, she's great. Something just came out with her, right? With Donald Trump Jr. It's like something new.
Well, she's been speaking about it again.
Oh, yeah. Because they dated for a day or so.
No, for months.
Oh, from an MI.
Okay.
You know more than I do.
She remembers she told that years ago.
I remember her telling us that, but I was like, I wasn't comprehending that she was really talking.
Well, now she's finally talking about it on a bunch of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Like in depth. Well, she's airing out all the dirty laughs.
Scandalous.
The Aubrey story is, when they first took me, Day 26, and put us with Danny DeGane, that we were now filming this, making the band was kind of turning into the real world, and we were all moving into a house together. We sat behind cameras and we were like, let's fake a relationship. Let's make this like even crazier. And then we actually kind of did get close. And then things got a little crazy. What happened was, they flew us all to Miami. We were living in Miami. We were working with different producers. And one of the producers' names was Donnie. And Aubrey messed around with this Donnie. And then the word was getting around. And then the cameras spun this, that Aubrey and Donnie did whatever last night. And then it just turned into this big thing. And
go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Any press is good press, right?
Yeah. Like, sure, we totally.
All right, here's another fan question from Tracy Wheely, 24.
Do people ever refer to you as Dr. Love? Like
yes. So, I mean, it happens very infrequently now. It's just like, I'm at a random place and it'll happen. Like I'm sitting at Applebee's with my wife and kids. And it's like the waitress comes up and she's like, you Dr. Love?
So you don't introduce yourself as like, I'm Donnie, but you can call me Dr. Love.
I definitely used to. Played into that role a little too seriously back in the day.
Yeah. This is from Iris the Pen. Do you have any unreleased songs from Just a Rolling Stone you think could have potentially been a hit?
So, I mean, yeah, that was a huge problem. So Irish the Pen, he was on a show back in the day too. I follow him on social media. He's a cool dude. What's up? But we had a whole album made so I vibed really well with this producer named Seven. He was big. He did a lot of Ashanti stuff in the 2000s. And then me and him, I give him the credit of what you were saying, like what Wade Robson kind of did for you guys live with your tour and stuff, he's the guy that kind of helped me find that just like person that I was becoming, that brand, the sound, changing my tone. Like back then, here I was going through vocal coaches and like singing, trying to sing perfectly. He was the guy that came in and he was like, no, we got to rough that up. And he just like took my whole studio experience to another level where it was like, so he came from like Prince's camp and he would have doves in the room and he would have a fog machine going and we would have candles and burn sage. And like, yeah, he just like set this aura.
Yeah, we got. Why don't we do this for our podcast?
Yeah,
this is perfect. You gave me some great ideas.
Put some doves on the tree back there.
So, still to this day, that's like we do it when we get into our real creative sessions. That's what we do in here. And he's like, he kind of gave us that whole like tone and mood just to create an experience and an environment that you get into and you just like disconnect from reality.
Nice. So who should we be looking forward to? Do you know what new artists are about to come out? Anyone you're working with right now that you need to let us know about?
Yeah, I mean, we have a few. So there's one I definitely want to mention, especially to the followers of your podcast that I feel like would love this dude, Dougie.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So if you follow at It Dougie.
Dougie, okay.
All right.
This kid is extremely talented. And he has the whole entire package. So when you guys check him out and everybody that's on here follows him, you'll see what I'm talking about. He could dance, he could sing, he has the look. We also have an artist that we've been kind of taking under our wing that we worked with for a long time. She goes by Sammy, S-V-M-M-I. You can find her.
Ooh, like a little Jake action.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
What happens here? It's like, we work with a lot of extremely talented people. And it's like exactly what you said. You hear these people with these golden voices and it's like, how did they get cut from round one of American Idol where they could probably out-sing everybody that made it onto the show? In the 12 years we've had this studio, it's like, there's been a couple people that I've been like, this person is definitely going to make it, but they just never got that big break or they gave up too soon.
I mean, especially these days, you know, when I grew up, you know, in the 80s and 90s, there were no competition shows. There were no making the bands. There wasn't any kind of thing you could watch on TV and be like, ooh, I could do that. But then when the American Idols and the making the band started, so all these kids that are born, you know, at 2 years old and they're watching these shows, they start dreaming of it right then. So they got more of a head start than all of us did. Yep. They started training since they were so young. So now the crop of talent out there is insane. I mean, look at The Voice, all those incredible, incredible talented people. And you don't even know one of their names, like the best singers in the world. And not one of them has really hit just right there. How much talent?
It's so oversaturated. I mean, that's even everything in general. It's like social media, YouTube, these TV shows. We warn a lot of artists about that. Getting onto these shows, that's still not the holy grail. It's like the shows are almost more about the judges now and their stories and the stuff that's happening between them. And then they put music out after the season ends and their albums and single releases do very good. And then the people on the shows get forgotten about. They're afraid to do anything. Mm-hmm. That's one of the big pieces of advice we give to people is like, you're signing these crazy contracts, non-disclosures. They tell you don't post on social media. We're like, just do it. You get this 15 minutes of fame that people are looking for your account while your one or two episodes aired, post some stuff. Yeah, and that's what we do. We get people ready. We like pre-film content and tell them like, don't be afraid. Don't let the contract scare you into wasting your chance to capitalize on the people coming to see your page.
Yeah. I mean, and like I always say, you know, it's when that opportunity, you know, success is what's the calculation of success. It's, opportunity one of those things.
One of those equals
success. We're so good. We're so good at giving great advice on the show.
Opportunity equals success.
Preparation.
Yeah.
It's opportunity equals success. So yeah, you got to take advantage of that. All right, Matt and Donnie, I need to hear what y'all are watching right now. We like to give our listeners some good recommendations of what we're binging, what movies we're seeing. So what are we watching?
That's a good question.
Any TV shows?
So a ton of Doc McStuffins, Peppa Pig, Spidey and his amazing friends.
Are you, are y'all into Bluey yet?
Bluey.
Oh, Bluey's all day.
It's been a little tough to get into any shows for me right now with the babies. It's just been like baby land.
What about you, Matt? With teenagers, do you get to watch The Bachelor?
A little bit. Maybe like Outer Banks. I think that was it.
I love Outer Banks. I saw the first season, loved it. And then I just found out a couple of weeks ago there's now five seasons. And I've missed it all.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool show.
Well, we had them on. We had them on my old radio show when they first premiered. When
it first came out.
And man, those fans are crazy. Guys back on. They were great. All right, guys. Well, this has been awesome getting to know you guys. We definitely want to stay in touch with you. So tell everyone how everyone can stay in touch with you on social media.
Yes, you can follow our studio account. It's at Loft Sound Studio. That's LOFT. Probably see it all behind us here. And then my account's at Donnie Klang. My TikTok pretty much just started blowing up after our group got back together. We posted, our group moved all over the country. One guy's in Arizona, one guy's in Maryland. We finally got together for the first time in 15 years. We posted a singing clip and it got like over a million
views overnight.
Wait, so you're burying the lead. So the band's back together. What else? So what's happening after this now?
Well, everybody's back.
We started making some originals again. Yeah.
Really?
Nice.
It's very hard with, you know, adult life and kids, and especially the fact that half of everybody is living out of state.
Yeah, that's hard. You know, I'm friends with the O-Town guys and Backstreet Boys, and you know what? They just make it work, and especially with O-Town because they are just in every city. And some have little kids, but you know, it's just all about communication and saying, okay, look, guys, like obviously, being dad is number one. But let's figure out how, like, this is the amount of time I need off. This is what I can do. Just so as long as everyone's on the same page.
Yeah. I guess it's fun. We sang All or Nothing by O-Town. We just sang the chorus quick. And the video, we just kept refreshing it. It was like 100,000, 200,000. We were like, this is insane. First time we get back together in 15 years. And the first thing we post, it was great.
Give the people what they want. They'll tell you.
What about you?
Yeah, what about you guys? Yes, what about a reunion?
No, you guys have to get back together now.
Well, we'll work on that. So, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Definitely want to stay in touch. Now we're going to follow you on our TikTok. Helps blow your stuff up because we give people the Frosted Tips.
Oh, yeah. Bump. Oh, the Frosted Tips bump.
The Frosted Tips
bump. It used to be the Dirty Pop bump.
Yeah, that's my old show.
But now it's upgraded.
Yeah. We started Dua Lipa. I mean, Prove me wrong.
I can't tell you how long we both had Frosted Tips. I think you still have Frosted Tips, right?
I think I got rid of them.
No, I'm just going to like frosted. Purple now. Yeah. So this will eventually frosted. Purple tipped.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So good to meet you guys. Meet you again. And we'll talk to you again very soon. Congratulations on everything.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Have a good one, y'all. Bye.
Hey LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, discoverla.com is your gateway to everything LA. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round alfresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or glimpse behind the scenes at World Famous Studio Tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in LA with our beautiful weather. And of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots.
the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
What lovely guys.
Yeah.
I like getting to know people.
Me too.
This is what I love about the show. Most of the people we've had on already have known. And it's hard. You know, it's like I'm asking the question that I already know.
You know the answer.
With interviews like this, where I don't really know anything about them, it's just so it's so interesting to me because I don't know what's happening.
And I think it's better interviews in a lot of the ways because like you're really actively listening to the answers. Because before when you know the answers, you're kind of half listening because you've heard the story so many times. Now you're like actually like hanging on to everywhere.
Yeah. Really good guys. I'll be following them and now following them on TikTok.
I know.
The band's back together.
Getting the band back together.
I wish they would have done that after Frosted Tips because then we could have claimed that we got two groups back together.
I know.
Yeah. Because that's we're doing the Lord's work here.
We are. Yeah.
Getting the bands back together, guys.
Amen.
All right, guys. We are off to playgroup right now. So our kids, they're in this like it's summer camp, they call it. But it's an hour at basically a playground. They do it twice a week. And it's so funny because our kids, so we go, it's going to be at our preschool. And it's just, it's the most incredible little play area.
It's so cute.
I mean, I want to live in this playground.
Oh, me too.
But you know, they sit in circles and read books and they sing songs. They do these little, you know, little activities.
And then they just play.
Except our kids.
Oh yeah.
Ours are the only ones that will not sit in a circle.
Will not.
And our kids don't even play with each other.
No.
Violet's in the treehouse over here and he's pushing buttons over here and he's pouring water on things, just doing his own little thing all by himself, both like total loners as everyone's being perfect and little, you know, sitting in their parents' lap. So we have very independent children.
They are very, they have their own minds.
They do.
We're going
to
do it.
But this is second week, so I'm excited to
it's the cutest.
Let them go have fun. And they're meeting all these little friends. And
I'm having the best time there too.
Oh yeah. It's a good time.
I'm selfishly going for myself.
We need to bring a backup of clothes because I didn't know that there would be water attached
lots of
to
water
this camp.
Yeah.
And they immediately go to the water and dump it on each other's heads.
I mean, Alexander just takes the water and just pours it on himself. Like that's an activity.
Oh, we forgot to tell our big milestone. All right. So,
oh my God, we should have discussed this.
We are now getting into the potty training, which I didn't think we would get into so early. But they started, you know, hadn't, you know, looking at their diaper being like, ooh, pee pee, pee pee.
I'm
like,
oh, maybe they're saying pee pee poo poo.
Aware now. So Alexander sat on his little toilet twice
now
and did a poo.
Mm-hmm.
We have a poo, folks.
And we have it on,
and we have a nice photo, which we're not going to post.
We're not going to share
because he will kill us in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not show our children's poop.
No. But we're very proud of it. It could have been an accident, but it was.
But
it
happened twice.
We did.
And then I made him sit on the toilet another time, and I can see him try to make. He was squeezing, and a little toot came out instead.
We have to teach him don't squeeze, because you'll get hemorrhoids.
Or as Bluey says, a fluffy.
A fluffy. All right, guys, that's all the show we have for you. Be good to each other. Don't drink and drive. Take care of those animals.
Yes.
We'll see you next time on Frosted Test. But until then, stay frosted.
Hey, thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Frosted Tips with Lance.
And Michael Turgenart.
And at Lance Bass for all your pop culture needs.
And make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars, 6 if you can. See you next time.
Hey LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. Immerse yourself in our vibrant fashion scene where exclusive streetwear meets high-end boutiques. Stroll through styles defining our bold, wildly creative city, like the unique finds at Melrose Trading Post, a real LA gem. Explore star-studded experiences on Hollywood Boulevard, behind-the-scenes studio tours, and moments of awe under our legendary blue sky. Picture this. The iconic Griffith Observatory, inspiring directors worldwide. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's the time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, zatting off.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.